Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Quirky Parenting. Today, we're going to talk about how we have brought minimalism into our lives. If you have a question about minimalism or anything else, make sure to submit it with the link below. I'll even answer a question about an airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow.
So today we are going to be talking about minimalism, which is something that I have been striving towards in the last few years. But it's kind of funny because I was definitely not a minimalist when I was younger. Like when I was a kid or a young adult or a teenager, there was one time when I went on a mission trip. It was a week long in high school. So 7 days, and I packed 12 pairs of shoes. But each pair had like a specific outfit or a specific usage.
Obviously.
You know, there were like fancy shoes and there was flip-flops for like the pool. And,
well, you had at least like three or four pairs of flip-flops, right?
Well, a couple. I had a couple of swimsuits. You know, I had to match them to the swimsuit. But so I never really thought that I would be someone who would be a minimalist because I have, not so much anymore, but I have a lot of junk. I've been going through it lately and getting rid of some of the stuff. But yeah. I guess part of it is that to me, minimalism always meant like basically a bare room and like everything was white and it had like maybe like two chairs.
Yeah. You don't even own the table.
Yeah. No, you don't need a table. Well, you don't have anything to put on the table, so you don't need the table also.
Yeah.
But I always thought that was totally not doable. Yeah. You know, it's just like, well, I don't want to be a minimalist. Like, I want to have kids, and you can't have a room like that with kids.
Yeah, obviously. You can't have kids and be a minimalist. I mean, they're the epitome of just stuff.
But I was really excited. About 2 years ago, I had the chance to review this book about minimalism. Mm-hmm. It's called The More of Less by Joshua Becker. And he actually is the creator of becomingminimalist.com. Which is a website that I recommend in my minimalism resources. Anyway, in The More of Less, what he talks about is rational minimalism, which is what I believe I strive for. So rational minimalism just means that you take a look at your stuff, like the stuff you already have, and you just kind of decide what you don't need. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not about cutting out everything. If you like to play video games, keep your video games. Just make sure that it's video games that you play, you know, or same with books. Like, are these books that you actually want? Or are you just keeping every book you ever read? Because I definitely was keeping like every book I ever read or I ever got for free because I can never, ever turn down a free book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on that same note, I mean, you specifically mentioned video games, and that's probably because that's exactly where I was coming from. I have video games from my Game Boy. Still,
yeah,
you know, and I've recently also been working here and getting rid of my backlog of games and everything else. I mean, some of these I haven't touched in a decade. Like, yeah. I don't need them. They've been sitting in a box.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you get caught up with like, oh, this was a really good game, or like, I'm someone who like I'll finish a book and I'll be like, oh, that was really good, but I have to be really honest with myself. Like, am I going to read it again?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, even though it's a really good book, it doesn't mean I'm going to read it again. So I need to pass it on to someone else, which I've started doing. So I'm actually pretty proud of myself with that. Another thing that minimalism is, and this is something I'm still striving towards, is just being mindful. So when you go to the store, be mindful about what you're actually purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm walking through, I don't really walk through the clothing section often because I'm always afraid I'm going to buy something I don't need. But, you know, when I see, like, a sweater, I always have to ask myself, okay, it is a cute sweater, but do I actually need it? Like, I have a lot of sweaters. What about this sweater makes it something that I need? And most of the time, I can say, like, I can tell myself, no, you don't need to buy that one. You have like, 3-4 sweaters that you already like.
Yeah.
And so I think just being aware, and, you know, this goes towards all sorts of shopping. I mean, even food shopping, too. You know, sometimes we'll be at the grocery store and we'll see, I don't know, a box of cereal or something. And it's like, oh, let's buy that. But after a minute, it's like, okay, but the last time we bought a box of cereal, it sat in our cupboard for 6 months.
And it went stale.
And it went stale. So it's like, why would we buy more cereal unless we have like a really specific plan for eating this cereal?
Yeah.
So I also thought I would talk about some of the things that I have been reading to learn more about minimalism. And I already touched on the first one, which is The More of Less by Joshua Becker. And I will put a link, an affiliate link to that in our below the podcast here. Mm-hmm. And again, I really like his take. He talks about rational minimalism. And he talks about how you get to decide what minimalism means for you. Some people will do things where they cut down until they only own 100 items. They only own 50 items. And that's great if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But he's all about, you need to decide for yourself what minimalism means for you. And you need to be the one making the decisions. Mm-hmm. So I really like I said, that was the book that I read that I was like, oh, I could do that. You know, like minimalism? Okay.
Yeah. One of the facts that really stuck out to me in that book as well is that the average American household contains, I think it was 300,000 items or more.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot. And think about how much, you know, you never do anything, you know, you never even touch.
Oh, yeah. I know I have at least 2 boxes of electrical components stuck under our stairs right now that I need to go through that, you know, I've been getting hassled about a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. and also, I liked, Andrew was just reading this quote before we started about how, what was it, 40% of American households with a 2-car garage cannot park 2 cars in it.
It was actually closer to 50.
That's crazy. Like, we have so much stuff that not only is it filling our houses, it's also overflowing into our garage to the point where you can't even park there, which, especially in Minnesota, because I know people that have lived like this. Mm-hmm. In Minnesota, you want to park in the garage.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's cold, it's snowy, it's icy. Like, there's no way that if I had a garage that I would be parking on the street.
Yep. And I, just to touch on that, even, you know, even we fell into that percentage for a short time. Like, we got a new table and we didn't get rid of our old one yet. It mm-hmm. ended up moving to our garage. Mm-hmm. And I finally had to get rid of it because winter was coming. I wasn't willing to park outside the winter. So I had to really move on it to get that thing out of here because it was no longer. But I mean, we even fell into that percentage for a short time while we were working on reducing our clutter.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's a really good point, is because when you decide to reduce your stuff, declutter, whatever, a lot of times it gets worse before it gets better. Because mm-hmm. obviously, as you're pulling stuff out, most of the time, you're not going to be able to immediately jump in the car and go drop it off at a donation center, or immediately go give it to someone or sell it to someone or whatever you're doing with these things you're getting rid of. Most of the time, you can't just do that. So then it becomes like, where do we put this stuff? And then it looks even more like a disaster. We still have a couple boxes in our entryway that we have a plan for. It's just we haven't acted on it.
Yeah.
We haven't had the time. We haven't had, you know, whatever. And I know it's excuses, but I think it's important to remember that if you decide to start getting rid of some of your things, that it's going to look worse before it gets good, before it looks better.
Yeah.
Because you have to do something with it.
Yep.
The other book that I was going to talk about, and I'll put an affiliate link to this one below also, is The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. And, you know, you've probably heard of KonMari, which was this huge fad, I want to say like 3 or 4 years ago. And people... Well,
it was an ancient Japanese art, wasn't it?
Totally. But no, people were totally like, you know, everyone was like getting rid of their stuff because they were reading this book. But I think it is a really good book. And the one thing that spoke to me, and a lot of people have said the same thing, is the way that she decides what to keep is to see if it sparks joy. So I am someone who the things that I like hang on to, I hang on to because I attach emotions and memories to them. You know, so I might have t-shirts, and I know I still do. I know I have t-shirts in my drawer that I pretty much never wear, but they have some kind of like a memory attached to them. You know, a water ski competition or something I did in college, you know, like college dance or something. And it's really hard for me to get rid of it because I don't know. For some reason, I think that I'm never going to remember these things if I don't have this t-shirt I never wear. But being able to read through this and to ask myself, with every piece of my clothing and every whatever, does this spark joy, really helped, because that was kind of my baseline. Because sometimes it's like, well, that shirt doesn't spark joy. It sparks I don't know, it might spark another emotion, such as maybe I'm feeling guilty. Like if it's something that I got from a family member, and maybe it's not quite my style, but I feel like I need to keep it and wear it because an aunt gave it to me. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty. And so it's not feelings of joy that are attached to this shirt. It's feelings of guilt. Guilt,
yeah.
And it's like, you need to let go of that. You need to get rid of that, get that negative, the negativity out of your life with mm-hmm. those items. And I know the other thing for me was that I have pieces of clothing. I keep going back to clothing because for me, I have a lot of clothes. And my family likes clothes. My family likes to shop. They like to have clothes. So I have a lot of clothes and I get a lot of kind of hand-me-downs from my mom and my sister. But sometimes I would put something on and it wouldn't fit me quite right. Like it would be a really cute skirt or something, but it just would be the wrong size or the wrong length or something. And I would keep telling myself, oh, I'll get it altered, or oh, maybe I could wear that when I'm pregnant, or maybe I can wear that after I'm pregnant, or maybe I can, you know, and it comes to the point where you have to tell yourself, no.
Yeah, just let it go.
Let that piece of clothing go, because all it's doing is it's making you feel stressed. Mm-hmm. It's not sparking joy, it's sparking stress. So KonMari was also a really good, really good read. So those are the two books that really put me on the path towards minimalism. And this kind of happened about the time that, maybe a little bit before McLean was born, mm-hmm. where I guess I started to be a lot more mindful about the items that we had in our home and what we're bringing into our home, and just making sure that, you know, I'm not just going to the store and buying a bunch of stuff, because I used to do that sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, it was also a little bit of a panic for, you know, first baby in the house. Mm-hmm. Our house is kind of cluttered. We had a lot of stuff. Where is she going to play? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
And just a general, because you can reorganize everything, but you're not actually getting rid of it. It's just moving it.
Yeah, you just end up rearranging it. So you have to get rid of stuff. And that really goes into, a lot of people think that you can't be a minimalist if you're a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be this idea that once you have a kid, there's just so much stuff. And that's not a wrong assumption, because obviously you're adding another human being to your household and they're going to have things that they need. Mm-hmm. But so many people these days tend to go overboard with what they buy for a child.
Yeah.
That comes into their household. You know, when you have a baby, you don't actually need that much stuff. You need to make sure you have a way to feed it. Mm-hmm. You need to have somewhere for it to sleep. You need to have some kind of diapers, whether they're disposable or cloth. And you need to have some kind of clothing, you know, to keep it warm. Mm-hmm. Those are the only things you need.
Everything else is just
extra. And there are certainly things that are, you know, helpful or are good to have or nice to have. But you don't actually need them. You can be a parent without all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. You know, you can raise a kid just fine without them. And so I think that's important to remember, because I think a lot of people get caught up in like, well, my friend said I need to have this special kind of swing. Like her baby only went to sleep in this special kind of swing and it's $400. But a lot of people will get caught up in, you know, my friend said I needed this. And even though it's expensive, I'm going to get it. Like, oh, everyone assured me that I definitely need this. And I can think of at least one thing that I got it secondhand. But, oh, everyone had it. Everyone used it. And I thought, oh, I found it secondhand. Yeah, like, that'll do. And it was a little seat thing. And I think Max sat in it once or twice.
Maybe.
She hated it.
Yeah.
She would rather just sit on her own. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know, even I had something where it was like, well, that was dumb. Why did I buy that?
Yeah.
But one thing I feel like was smart that we did do, when we made a baby registry, and we've talked about this in our Cloth Diapering podcast, mm-hmm. is that we only put things that we actually wanted. I know sometimes people go a little crazy with the registry and just start adding whatever looks cute and whatever, you know, looks fun. And then they end up with 10,000 blankets.
Yeah.
You know, just because all the blankets looked really cute. But you don't actually need that many blankets. So instead, what we did is we made sure that we only put things that we really wanted, and we registered for cloth diapers, because that was something for us that was going to be a big expense. And we figured we wanted people buying something that we would actually use.
Yep.
So we put cloth diapers on there. And, you know, if you're not cloth diapering, then think about if there's another big expense or something that you could put on a registry. Because sometimes, you know, it'll be something like maybe all of your aunts go in together to buy a big piece of furniture for the baby or something. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to worry like, oh, no one's going to buy it. Well, you know what? If you only put a couple things on your registry, people will probably band together and buy them.
Yeah.
That's what I've found. And the other way that we kind of cut down on stuff with Mac is from the beginning, we've tried to be really open with our families about what we actually want for her and what we don't really want.
Yeah.
I'm being that I teach and work in Montessori, which you can learn more about in our Montessori podcast, is that I just don't really want electronic toys. And that's a thing just for me. I get it. Like, other people are okay with it and that's fine. But it was something that I didn't really want. And so we have tried to be very open with our families about, like, please limit, you know, not like no altogether, but please limit the amount of electronic toys that you give her.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, grandma and grandpa or aunt and uncle or someone, you know, they're going to find something and really want to give it to her. And I'm not going to say no, because you know what? They also give really nice gifts outside of the electronic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like just being open with them has really worked, because I feel like they do listen, you know, like your family will listen and respect you.
Yeah.
So, but minimalism, again, is just, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. You just have to keep looking at it. And like, I feel like even though our house is still a little cluttered, we've made great strides and we've cut back on a lot of stuff. And honestly, I like the progress we've made. You know, it cleans up nicely, and you just look back and say, wow, look at all that space we have now.
Yeah. So if you are interested in minimalism, you can read one of the books that I will put affiliate links to below this. You can also take a look at any of my posts that are in my minimalism category, because I'm, you know, slowly adding things as I learn, and I'd love for you to learn along with me. So if you have any questions about minimalism, please send it to the link below. We would love to try to answer anything that we can. We're not experts, but again, we would love to try and help anybody who is interested.
Definitely. And we'll make sure all that's linked below, and we'd like to hear from you.